Broadsides, the March 14th edition, with a special report on the arrest at City Council and a call-in from Minister Wiley Drake in Southern California. Stay with us.
Downtown when you're brown on a Friday night, playing Russian roulette with you, but not with a second-hand Saturday night special. Nah, downtown plays Russian roulette with a brand new SJPD revolver. One bullet for injustice, one bullet for intolerance, and one bullet for the self-hating sellout Latino capuleto that will never bust enough Mexicans, harass enough Chicanos, or beat the shit out of enough cholos to feel equal to his Caucasian counterparts. You see, downtown when you're brown, Officer Lopez is hunting down Chicanos like the Terminator, hoping in vain that one day he may be able to wake up and scrub the brown out of downtown, or at the very least, out of his own skin. Downtown! Sound of injustice is drowned out by the boom, boom, boom of tricked out Impalas and cherried out mini trucks as the cat calls of oppression are heard up and down Santa Clara streets, and beautiful Latinos strut 5 or 6 deep in midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifixes hanging in the rear mirror. And the town when you're brown on a Friday night, all the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no fucking Mexican zone. Downtown, downtown when you're brown on a Friday night is no place to be, because SJPD will pull you over for being downtown and brown, and for no other reason. And you will find yourself at the corner of 27th and Santa Clara at a McDonald's parking lot, surrounded by 4 police cruisers, while 2 bigs in SWAT gear search your car illegally, and a 3rd one frisks you. And now I'm not talking about no pussy little frisk like you see in front of a club. I'm talking about a real motherfucking frisk like they do on cops, where they tell you to spread your legs, put your hands on the hood of the car, and they pat you down so good you think you're getting a hand job. And you know, if they don't find nothing on you, if they don't find nothing on you, for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting beat to a pulp by Billy Clubs in a back alley for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting shot for being brown in downtown. And everywhere, 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 blessings going down for being brown in downtown.
Downtown, and you are, well, you might be downtown. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Here in Santa Cruz, we are coming at you about 40 watts strong and covering the Santa Cruz area and somewhat more. You are invited to call in to let us know what's going on in your sector of the community. 427-3772 is the call-in number. 427-3772, particularly if you are concerned as I am with civil rights issues. That's what this show is about for the next 2 hours. We call ourselves Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. My broadsides are parked firmly in the studio, and I'm going to be coming at you for the next 2 hours talking about issues like, well, some of our old favorites are rent control, the sleeping ban, how homeless people are treated in different communities around the country, and most important, how we can change that particular situation and make it legal for homeless people to do the things they need to do, not just to survive, but to rise out of homelessness back into a situation where they have the dignity of, well, a home, a place to live, a job. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, were you aware that, what was it, in, what, late October that Bush signed in new surveillance powers for the...
The Patriot Act.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yes, that concerns me greatly.
Well, it should.
Right there, that's like direct taking away of our civil rights.
You got it.
And
if it's not Bush, it's Mayor Crone arresting us for talking at city council or even for saying nothing, as happened to me two nights ago.
Whoa. I did not hear about that.
Yeah, actually, it was in the Sentinel today on page 2. If you check the Sentinel, usually, well, this story is not terribly good, but it does cover some of the points, and I'm actually going to be talking about them on the show soon.
Nice.
But yeah, the Patriot Act is an important...
It scared the crap out of me when I read it. I mean, that's like, oh.
It's real hard to read the Patriot Act because it really is a huge kind of encyclopedic series of minor... changes here and there and major changes over here. I mean, you can read about the Patriot Act. I haven't met anyone who's actually worked through the verbiage of the Patriot Act, which was a series of many amendments of the federal code.
Yeah.
You know, but it does involve sort of some basic things like allowing, as you say, domestic surveillance in a much easier way, allowing domestic surveillance, I guess, on not just on one phone, but on a number of phones without a warrant.
Ooh, see, that's like, that's directly against, lawsuits need to start flying.
It also involves, if you are, you can be criminalized and fall under this act if you are involved in associations or affiliations with so-called terrorist groups.
Yeah.
And they call a lot of groups
terrorist
groups,
huh?
But I'm actually not an expert on the Patriot Act. I'd love to have somebody who is, and there have been a number of good summaries. I don't know if they're good summaries. I assume they may be good summaries, but
yeah,
they certainly are frightening summaries I've read in different magazines.
Yeah.
Call in and, you know, give us the summary on that. I'm concerned about the local scene in Santa Cruz. And how are you a local Santa Cruzan?
I'm a local. I've only been here 3 years, so I'm just getting into the local politics of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And you can already see the changes. I mean...
Well, tell me about that.
My God. With the sign down River Street, for one, I mean, this place... It's going much, much more commercial than it used to be, and it's even the vibe around town is becoming harsher. People are becoming less talkative, less neighborly than it was even 3 years ago, and I think it's all connected, and it's a direct reflection of what's going on in the world and our politics here, too.
It's interesting. I've actually been looking for some kind of sense as to what impact, let's say, the Patriot Act has had locally, I haven't heard of anyone who's been prosecuted, for example, under the Patriot Act, and we've heard that Amy Courtney and Cassandra Brown flew a sign next to an American flag, and it was taken down by the Scotts Valley Police. But then they successfully went to federal court.
Got them all taken off.
And got a ruling that they have to put up some standards that are for everybody or for nobody, and then of course that was appealed, and we're still in the middle of that particular struggle. But the sad thing is that, and the kind of the weird, frightening thing is that there aren't any mass protests. I guess you have to do business as usual because you got to eat and you got to, you know, feed your children and you have to proceed in some way. But, you know, compare it with what happened during the buildup around the Iraqi war. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of people on the streets. I mean, at one point, there were several thousand people on the streets. The freeways were blocked.
Well, there's a lot more internal propaganda on this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The flag waving went up and then propaganda machine started rolling real hard against our own people.
But what about Santa Cruz? I mean, you got a situation where people, you know, old-time peace activists, I mean, they do show up on Friday.
You got decades of history of protesting here.
You know, they show up with signs on Friday at Ocean and Water, and that's cool. To my chagrin.
That's about it, huh?
To my chagrin, I haven't been there, but yeah, I mean, I...
A dozen people.
And there are lectures now and then on the campus about
Hello?
This and that.
Come on in.
Hello?
Oh, sorry, I had someone at my door.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm glad you raised the issue. I've got to plead some ignorance, and this is too bad. I mean, I've actually read the summaries of the Patriot Act. I don't.
Yeah,
actually,
I've only read summaries myself. I've only dipped.
But I'm very interested in what's happening here and how, you know, how it's impacted by that. I mean, it's important that we don't get overly paranoid too. It's important that we assess accurately what impact this has. So
yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's just step one. You know what I mean? In baby steps. To take away your rights, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't know, it's not a baby step. I think it's a huge step, and I think that the really frightening thing is the mass amount of parent, and if you believe the polls, I don't know if they're true, but a lot of people do, that public acceptance that, you know, the Führer Bush still, you know, has in his plans to, you know, do the big stick number with nuclear weapons of various degrees and sizes, you know, which... you get tut-tut from the colonists, you get some warning notes from a few of the newspapers, but I haven't seen any major resolutions in Congress to block him. I mean, there are a few voices who speak out, like Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, you know, Daschle, the...
But it's not enough to really...
Well, and most important here in Santa Cruz, I would like... I mean, I've actually felt like sitting up a table and just spending, 24 hours a day, reading the Patriot Act, talking about it, doing a speak out, and... If there are people who wanted to do that, I'd be happy to join them and do such a thing. So if anybody's interested, let me know.
I'm definitely interested. I would need to brush up before I started preaching to others.
I mean, do a teach-in on campus that goes on until we get some meaningful response from our local representatives, our state representatives, and our federal representatives, but most important from the community.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, caller. I'm going to roll.
I have one more small question.
Are
you guys on off the grid yet?
Off the grid, meaning?
Off the power grid.
What do you mean?
The radio station. Are you on solar power or anything yet?
I don't think we're on solar power. I think we do, we're PG&E oriented. But if you want more information on that, give a call to 427-4523, which is voicemail. And they'll actually be able to get back to you, some real tech, technicians.
I had a thought that, if you guys could get a price for it, I would be willing to sell my car for you guys to get... power,
wow.
Or to get off the grid, and
that's
if we can get a couple others to do so, we can easily get enough to get a couple power cells.
Well, hey, you know what you should do is you should call in and make your proposal on the voicemail, and then come to a meeting of the collective, and offer your assistance. I'm sure people are going to be certainly interested in your proposal. I have no idea of how feasible it is, how it would fit in with the equipment we have here, or our
because I've checked on
status.
Solar power generally and. And you can get your whole house off the grid. It's just a matter of money, you know what I mean? And
well, hey, why don't you, give a call to 427-4523.
Okay.
That's the voicemail. And again, did you want to say more about that? I don't mean to cut you off.
No. I just wanted to briefly ask you about that.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for talking with me.
Hey, you're welcome.
All right. And I will try to get back in touch with you about maybe actually staging something bigger than a few people on ocean and water.
Please do. Call me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and it's also a voicemail that kind of covers a number of other things at different times.
Okay.
And I encourage other people who are listening who would like to be a part of a real peace teach-in type effort, call 423-HUFF, and there doesn't have to be any one person organizing this. If we all get together and we can find some way to divvy up the labor.
Yeah, get the collective mind.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a great night.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was a quick and early call, or maybe not so quick, but certainly early. The main news for me the last few days has, of course, been my arrest at City Council, which happened on Tuesday night. When, after oral communications had been closed by Mayor Chris Krohn, and he had rather rudely, and I felt in an authoritarian fashion, cut off Susan Zeman, who was trying to make an appeal that she be allowed to speak briefly for 2 minutes, since he'd only allowed speakers to speak for 2 minutes, and there was no pressing business on the agenda in terms of the numbers of people that were, that were waiting to say to talk. Once there were only 5 or 6 or 7 people in the chambers. About 10 or 15 minutes later, he used this rigid approach. He wouldn't let her speak. So I raised my hand in a brief Sieg Heil type salute, silently from the side, not blocking anyone's view, off on the right side of the room where the oral communications line stands. And I don't think Krohn even noticed it. That's what I'm told by video journalist Becky Johnson, who luckily videoed this entire incident. And however, Fitzmaurice, the council member who was mayor before Mayor Crone, and who has developed a rather severe antipathy to me, to what I have to say, to my opposition to his Dolphin Lee project and various other projects that he has been pressing forward, and his general stance of kind of a repressive attitude towards the public couched in the language of decorum. Fitzmaurice sort of wishes us all to behave like we're in a classroom, quietly taking the proper direction from our betters and behaving in the fashion that they direct we should behave, even as they ignore key issues like civil rights for the homeless year after year and keep it illegal, for instance, for homeless people to fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night on any public property, anywhere in the city, or even in their own private, legally parked, legally registered vehicles when they have no other shelter. So Fitzmaurice has taken a very harsh attitude towards me, and on occasion we've definitely clashed swords. I'll continue this in a moment. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
So what did you really do, Robert?
Well, I took off my pants and did a strange dance, and then I, of course, attacked several women and two men, actually.
Okay, then. Now we got the real truth out here.
Yeah, well, I wanted to, you know, let it all hang out. Actually, no, I am giving you a blow-by-blow.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty...
I just want to know what they initially... What the point was? Was it the Sieg Heil or what?
Well, there wasn't a Sieg Heil. There was nothing said.
Oh, okay.
All it was an arm lifted at about a 45-degree angle, well, say a 60-degree angle, and then it only lasts for about a second. It was very quick, and then let down again in response to Crone's disgraceful treatment of Susan Zeman. And also, he had been acting in a fashion where, I mean, I, too, was not being allowed to speak at oral communication, but that's nothing new. But he did this to the person in front of me as well, as I said, after having cut back time to 2 minutes. And again, as I said, Crone didn't notice it, but Fitzmaurice, who has his history with me, did. And he turned to... you know what I can do? I actually have the soundtrack of the...
I want to see the video. How much are the videos selling?
The video will cost $100.
Actually, it's robing and dancing around.
That will cost $150. The truth of the matter is that the video, which is quite revealing and shows all the witnesses and is sort of, you know, it's interesting. I have it here in the studio, and I'm going to actually play the soundtrack, which isn't terribly good. The video is very very compelling because you can see what happens, and you can see how really trivial this whole
situation. So you already reviewed the video.
I've reviewed the video,
and you've edited it, I'm sure.
I've removed all the offending portions so that children who listen to this station will not be offended. Actually, no, the video is going to be played completely uncut. There's not that much to hear, though, is the problem. The other thing is that there is a longer audio, which I have yet to kind of prepare properly. That doesn't mean... what it means is I'm having trouble finding it. I've got a bunch of tapes here, and in the process of getting arrested, although, you know, and then trying to... coming back the next day, it's still...
Who was the arresting officer?
The arresting officer was our friend Sergeant Butchie Baker.
Oh, he's the mall sergeant now, right?
He is the mall sergeant, or he's one of them, actually.
I saw him on his bike.
Yeah, he runs around in his shorts, and he's you know, pretty good
nice
looking.
Nice legs.
Well, I don't know. I can't really judge that. I'm not... connoisseur of legs, but you know, he's also the guard at city council frequently. He stands there and makes sure that people tremble before the decisions of the city council, and this is what this was all about, getting the public to tremble before Mayor Crone, in this case, and it's such a person as the diminutive Susan Zeman, who is, you know, she wasn't about to assault the city council. She was simply asking for some public comment time so that the last two speakers, myself and her, at least her, would be allowed to speak, and there was no reason not to grant it.
Uh-huh.
And you'll be able to, what you'll hear...
Well, did you speak in the last meeting? Are they still doing that?
No, they're
not letting you speak because you spoke in the last meeting?
What they did was they had declared that people who spoke at the last meeting have to wait until all the other people speak.
Oh.
And that's their standard deal now. I'm going to actually talk a little bit about the history of oral communications.
Oh,
okay. Just to give you kind of a, you know, so pull up a pillow and get ready to take a long snooze.
Where's that CD of mine? Oh, never mind.
There you go.
Well, interesting. Okay, well, I'll let you get on with the story. I just wanted to ask some pertinent questions of who arrested you. Did you get roughed up at all?
Oh, not at all. No. I think Baker was very, very careful because I don't think he didn't arrest me because he thought there was any form of, you know, thing that required his intervention. It was a citizen's arrest by Mayor Krohn. He's apparently signed the complaint, and I was, of course, the police department decided to take me to jail and hold me for 5.5 hours so that I wouldn't menace the city council meetings.
Or the city.
Or, you know, who knows what I might do with a known terrorist that
I am. Did they put you in the rubber room?
I didn't have any rubbers with me, and I did have some, they thoughtfully gave me some socks.
What was the charge?
The charge is now the misdemeanor charge of disrupting a public assembly, which is punishable by up to $1,000 fine and a year in jail.
So you and Krohn get to battle this out in court.
If he is silly enough to, we will be exchanging motions back and forth.
Ooh.
And who knows? I may have to. You know,
might develop a nice relationship.
Could be
friends one day.
Well, I know that you and Krohn have gotten pretty cozy. He was on your show, but he came into the studio and you were there and you interviewed him.
Yeah, he actually changed his clothes in front of me.
Well,
or behind me.
What's going on here? Does his wife know about this?
He had to go give some kind of something to the Girl Scouts, some award or something. I don't know what it was.
I remember that. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was in the paper, too. But, yeah, he had to change in front.
Well, you know, I was originally impressed that he came into the studio, you know, and
yeah.
Because he's been in the studio briefly before, but he tends to duck questions and, you know, he'll turn them around on you rather than answer them. He plays politician's games.
Well, yeah, he's a politician. You know, he's got to make everybody happy, so he has that major pressure. We talked a little bit about...
poor fellow.
Some people call. I wanted to mainly leave it open to callers, and a few people called in and talked about the camping. One guy talked about the camping ban. A guy I could barely hear. Talked a little bit about it, and then someone called about the war when they were going to support anti-war or not support the war or whatever, and they decided not to do that because of just out of people in New York, everything's still pretty.
Because there are a bunch
right
of chicken shits who'd rather see us bombed away than take a stand. I mean, that's,
yeah, but still, you got to think. You got to think if this city started to support that, there would be a huge backlash the way things are now.
I don't think that's true. Berkeley did that, and there was no huge backlash at all. There was an attempt at one that quickly fizzled.
Huh.
Berkeley has passed resolutions that said we want peace. We don't. I think we should go further. The bombing is obviously a failure.
Right.
The bombing is obviously a pretext for huge military appropriations and a vast political, you know, election.
Well, I agree. I totally agree with
right.
you.
Right. I mean, you know, I'm
trying to look at it from his point of view, and I wanted people to see.
You are so sweet.
Who he was, rather than just sitting there badgering him on the air. Just let him talk, and
right.
usually you figure out what people are about when they talk.
Oh, you are so objective.
And some people call. Well, you got to be sometimes if you're going to be a reporter there, Robert.
I suppose. Well, listen, Christopher Krohn, if you're listening, call in. I won't cut you off. You'll have your opportunity to have your say.
All right.
But I promise I won't arrest you. But you got, you know, if
I'm getting off the line so he can call.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Robert.
And that was Skidmark Bob. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. And yes, indeed, Mayor Krohn or any of your cronies, so to speak, please give us a call. 427-3772. Although I got to tell you, we are hoping for a call from Pastor Wiley Drake from Buena Park, California, and that's going to interrupt my blow-by-blow rendition of what happened, I'm afraid, very shortly. But let me just sum it up quickly, and then I'm going to have to get back to it. And I will again be playing this tape of it's essentially the audio portion of a videotape, and it's not the best. The video is very compelling. You get to see exactly what happened and see the huge over-response of the city council. As I said, Fitzmaurice told Krohn, arrest him, have him barred from city council chambers, not arrest him. I was told to leave city council chambers. I said, no, I'm a part of the public meeting here. I'm not going to leave. In essence, I was saying, don't disrupt your own meeting. Let's proceed with business. Instead, he took the suggestion from Scott Kennedy to recess, and I was arrested during the recess, taken to jail, held for 5.5 hours, and then released. Into a rather chilly 2 a.m. or 2:30 a.m. Weather, and I have to go to court on April 3rd. We have a call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey.
Ho.
I was just listening to that conversation you were having with Skidmark Bob.
Yes, sir. I mean, ma'am.
And it's fine. You can call me sir.
Yes, sir.
And I recognized what I thought might be a little unconscious homophobia on your part.
You calling me a queer man? What's going on here?
No, I think you're unconsciously homophobic.
Unconsciously? I try to be conscious in what.
Oh, are you conscious of being homophobic?
Well, I try to be, well.
Because you just said that you don't look at legs, and I know you, Robert. You're totally like checking women out.
I'm more of a breast man than a leg man, I gotta tell you.
Oh, is that what that was about?
Well, you know, I mean,
suddenly love having small breasts, I must tell you.
Well, I try not to be entirely bigoted against small breasts. I mean,
well, you should be. Please, tell me you are.
Well, you
make me feel better.
Well, don't be paranoid. I will. I'm an equal opportunity offender here.
And I wanted to ask you a question about the city council.
Go ahead.
You know, I feel like maybe some people who like join into the political bullshit are trying to actually create change and aren't just like, you know, doing it for self-interest. And I feel like a lot of the time when you deal with different politicians, you already have a certain way of looking at them that I probably also actually have, and police officers, I have the same way of kind of looking at them. They already have like a negative.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, what that is, it's prejudice. We're being prejudiced against people for their occupational choice. And I guess that's different than, like, you know, being prejudiced against something that someone has no choice or no control over. But I think it's something we should recognize, too, because I think that sometimes there are politicians out there who are really trying to change things.
Well,
and they usually don't get reelected.
Actually, I'm very pleased when I see politicians who are trying to change things. Like, Michael Schmidt was an example of a politician who was trying to change things and got.
What happened to him?
He got shafted by Mark Primack, who jumped
see?
In and seized his you know support and won over the. Well, he didn't win. Nobody won, but he essentially gained the runoff space with Marty Wormhout for supervisor. But you know, no, I don't think I'm prejudiced. I believe I have a bias that makes me suspicious of politicians. That doesn't mean I'm not ready to, you know, pay some attention if I see someone actually really advocating something real. And Crone made some original strong statements and did some things that I actually approved of.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, you know.
But he...
Like, if you were more supportive of him for doing the good stuff, you know, it would probably be better, more beneficial,
no,
not only to him, but to you,
so.
Dude.
I don't think so.
And why not?
Well, because...
Like, if you're more supportive of him and
you don't
deal
know
with
the
him like on that level, because you get in this...
Caller, you don't know the history of Crone.
The caller.
You are the caller, man.
I am sir.
Yes, sir. Sir, you don't know the history of Crone's behavior on city council in terms of his relation with me. We, you know, we do talk regularly, Crone and I. We confer, we chat. But the fact of the matter is, he's the mayor, he sets the agenda, he has responsibilities for the civil rights of people that are being essentially trashed each night in Santa Cruz around the homeless issue. He has votes on the city council that could pass the sleeping ban, for example, the repeal of the sleeping ban, if he were willing to bring it up. But he won't. He is a gutless wonder in this regard, and I'm afraid that it's also true with rent control, it's also true with Dolphin Lee, it's also true in a number of issues that we've discussed on this program.
Okay, you're right.
I mean, and what's the problem? You gotta find something true to praise him on if you really want to praise him. I found something to praise him on the day he arrested me. He and the whole council actually reversed a blunder they'd made and removed the 3-day restriction on camping in backyards, side yards, and a business
parking
lot.
Well, there you go. He did something good. I just know that he was, like, nice. You know what I mean?
He's a nice guy, yeah. So is Scott Kennedy. They're all very nice. But the fact of the matter is... So
is Scott Kennedy on...
Yes.
He is?
He is. He's on the city council.
Where did he win?
He won in 2000.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
I must have voted for someone else and thought he was Scott Kennedy.
Well, get it together, caller. Okay, sir, I gotta go. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I just hope that if you really are homophobic, we know that you're sexist already, and we're hoping that you're going to try to change that.
Well, perhaps we can talk about this at a later time, or perhaps we can talk about this in...
On my show?
Well, perhaps on your show.
You want to come on to my show and we can talk about it, Robert?
When is your show?
My show is Saturday from 3 to 6.
You know, I might well be willing to do that. What you need to do is call me probably the day before and, you know, grab me and see what I'm doing. Because I wouldn't mind.
I'll try.
You know, you got a tough row to hoe, kiddo.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Thanks.
Bye.
So this is your sexist, homophobic host, Uncle Robert, here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, ashamed but still hanging in there at 96.3 FM. And indeed... frankly, I think homophobia and sexism is something I share with a lot of people in this country. It's not a good thing, but it's something that we're born with. Well, we're born with it. We imbibe it sort of like milk from the social milieu we're in. But one of the things that interests me, as I said, is, I guess, finding ways to restore democracy in our community in terms of, well, even such a seemingly hopeless organ of government as the city council, and that is why, for example, I took an arrest on Tuesday night. But let me continue with what I was telling the caller, Earth Mommer, actually, and thank you for calling in, Earth Mommer, regarding what Christopher Crone did was good at city council. Christopher Crone is the mayor. For those who don't know, he was elected on a platform of civil rights for the homeless, among other things, and he actually tried to do it for a month or two. And then, because he was sort of slapped down with, along with Keith Sugar, who made some initial strong and important attempts to make changes in the sleeping ban, we essentially didn't really hear from them again until the safe sleeping zones issue, which they only brought up because of massive protests from David Silva and Huff and Fasts and the Homeless Issues Task Force ragging at them, and the coffee clutch. There were several of us who were doing the city council coffee clutch, where we were lobbying 9 to 5 during the day, waiting for the council members to come in, asking to see them, things of that sort. And after Catherine Byers vetoed that, Crone and Sugar and all those progressives from 1998, well, Fitzmaurice was the third, simply gave up. And they've done nothing, zero, in terms of homeless civil rights since then, although their two new, quote, progressives have gotten on the council, Emily Riley and Ed Porter. So, and ironically enough, the initiatives, for example, to protect Camp Paradise have come from the so-called non-progressives, who are Scott Kennedy, who didn't run with SCAN support, and Mark Premack, who is really considered by many to be the most conservative member on the council. Here's a man who hasn't returned my phone calls for a year and a half. He and Sugar are vying for the record on that one, Councilmember Sugar. And, yeah, I don't really want to, it's you know, I'd be happy to provide documentation of Mayor Crone's failures, and you might call it incompetence, you might call it bad faith, you might call it timidity, or perhaps if you're as generous as Skidmark Bob, who had Mayor Crone in the studio, you might say that he is responding to different segments of the community, that he wants to get a consensus. You know, I mean, if politicians had felt that way around issues that Martin Luther King was raising, they'd still be lynching more blacks in the South than they are. You know, I mean, we don't have time or stomach, or hopefully we've got better hearts than that, to wait for politicians to listen to the most bigoted voices in the community, to get them on board, or to get the most powerful voices on board in terms of the money and wealth of the town, or in terms of the people who help reelect them. You know, I don't have time to wait for that. I'm not going to wait for that. And I'm going to kind of pass that one on. Although I can understand how people are concerned about, you know, wanting to see good things come and hoping that the politicians we have can do something. But there's a difference between real hope and false hope. And the false hope is something that we simply should not get into, because it's really kind of a waste of time. It doesn't mean we should prejudge people. We should judge people on their records and what they do and what they don't do. That's really the important thing. So, before we go any further, I'm going to kind of give myself a breather here, and certainly you can call in, and we can talk off air briefly, and I'll certainly put you on air if you'd like. And I'm waiting for a call from Reverend Wiley Drake of Buena Park, California, to talk about some of his latest adventures. He's a guy who's spent time in court getting tried and convicted of misdemeanor violations for lodging homeless people in his church. That's considered a crime in Buena Park, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. And he was convicted, and the judge then sentenced him to, I don't know how many hours of community service, hundreds and hundreds of hours, and then declared he'd done all the hours because he had done all this work with homeless people. He continues, Reverend Drake, to violate the court orders that say you can only have 52 people in the church. He says he has hundreds. And the police continue to harass him, and he's going to talk about that harassment tonight if he calls in. We're going to be hearing from him, hopefully, fairly soon. But before we do, let's look at some of our own homegrown harassment. As you know, I've been spending a lot of time in the past few months talking about Yuppie Planter, the area at New Leaf Market, fenced off by the Santa Cruz City Council and the Redevelopment Agency. to afford Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe a special dining area that just coincidentally removes the young people from that area. And young people then moved across the street, and then just coincidentally the benches were removed from in front of the cookie company, moving them on, and they've moved back somewhat to the area in front of the New Leaf Market, but there isn't much legal place to be, and there's virtually no place to sit down. In theory, you can sit on the planters that are not inside the special merchant customer only area of Yuppie Planter, but that theoretically is sitting 10 feet from a business and presumably can be harassed as harassment material for police if somebody wants to press it. And who knows, I'm not sure how much Matisse Selman, who owns Sushi Now, or Alibaba, Ali Ka of Alibaba's Cafe, have been doing these complaints, but I have heard from young people in the area, not so much in the last 2 days, but about 4 or 5 days ago, there was a massive kind of harassment, tickets for leaning against the wall, tickets for playing music, tickets for sitting down in the wrong place. And we're going to hear right now, for example, that this harassment doesn't merely happen at Yuppie Planter. It's happening up and down the mall. There seems to be a new directive from our fine Santa Cruz Police Department, and I don't want to seem to be biased against the police. In fact, I'm friendly with numerous police officers, even numerous police officials. I even said hello to the chief of the police department, Steve Belcher, the other day. I mean, it's not personal with me. What I see is politicians and police officers have to be responsible for what they do and what they allow to be done in their name. That's the issue. And in so doing, they make their own bed, and it's important for us to shine the light on it because they unfortunately are making our beds as well, because they're the folks whose behavior affects us most strongly, or their failure to act in some circumstances. So, as I said, the harassment of street musicians, young people, hippies, counterculture people, homeless people, continues along Pacific Avenue. The reason I so strongly went after the Yuppie Planter fencification, the yuppification, the gentrification of that area, the privatization of it, is that it's just one instance, a very glaring but visible and well-publicized instance of how conservative bigots in the city council milieu, in the redevelopment agency milieu, can impose their own standards on Santa Cruz and change the character of the town. And usually it happens through the police department and the downtown association, and the city council likes to maintain this pretense that it's a bunch of liberals and progressives. But we know from their behavior on the war, we know from their behavior on the homeless, that they're not. They just aren't. And it's important for us to say so and make it clear to them. And I'm all for, you know, letting them, you know, speak themselves about their own situation and show off what they are, as Skidmark Bob was doing with Mayor Crone, I guess it was last Tuesday, just 2 days ago, around noon before the city council meeting. But the fact of the matter is, they're masters at saying nothing in many words. And that's the problem with these city council members. You have to cut through the shit and show what they are saying, what they aren't saying. If they're saying something good, that's great. Let's see, however, what the people on the streets are saying about what's going down. We're talking with
Cosmic Chris,
who got a trespass ticket recently.
Oh, take my right side, would you? Cause I'm, yeah.
So what happened there, Chris? You got your guitar with you?
Well, Dennis and I were playing some soft music in the alcove after hours at Jackson Shoes. And Officer Klein decided to come up and write me a ticket for trespassing.
Did he?
Now, mind you, I was not touching the building or standing near the building. I was standing in the alcove, but I wasn't touching anything.
Mm-hmm. Had Jackson Shoes people told you that they didn't want you there?
Never. In fact, they've given me permission to play there in years past.
And did Officer Klein give you a warning of any kind before he gave you a ticket?
Nope.
I was there. I saw it happen.
And we'll take you in a moment, sir, as a witness. Were there any other officers present or other witnesses other than this suspicious-looking individual?
There were other witnesses, but I believe Officer Klein was the only officer there.
And again, what time of day was it?
7:30 p.m.
And what music were you playing?
My Sweet Lord and wish you were here.
And what did Klein say to you?
He asked me what grade I finished in school, and could I not read the sign that was posted in the window that said no loitering and trespassing and whatnot.
And you said to him?
I said, yeah, I can read that.
To which he replied?
Something about me being warned previously. I was taken out of the warehouse window, which is not posted and has never been a problem, and told to stand in the rain with my $2,000 guitar and play street music in the rain.
And which officer told you this?
Now, that was a sergeant with Klein in tow.
Could that be Sergeant McPhillips?
Probably, the short, dark-haired fellow.
That could be Sergeant Baker, then. Chunky, dark hair?
Don't think it was Baker.
Huh, okay.
Anyways,
and when did
that was the night before the actual night of the ticket.
Now, do you have a date on this ticket?
Yeah, I'm due to appear April 10th.
That's 8:30 in arraignment, or?
Superior Court.
And when were you given this ticket exactly? You remember the day?
What day was that? Was that Friday night?
I don't remember precisely.
I think it was Thursday or Friday night.
So it was 3 or 4 days ago?
I think it was Friday night, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Friday night.
Because I remember talking to Officer Klein and his sergeant 2 days ago on the 10th, and he referred to a Chris, the musician, who had gotten a ticket. And because I had said there was numerous complaints, and one of them was Officer Klein, and it wasn't you that was complaining about Officer Klein. It was another individual, and I actually played that tape on free radio. Stephen, you were a witness to this. What did you see?
Certainly. Robert, I saw something that I really didn't wish to see. I was walking up the street playing a musical instrument, and one of the witnesses there even warned me. They said, watch out now. You know, music's becoming illegal. And I noticed that they were getting a ticket under the... what wasn't even quite a recess from the sidewalk, and I saw that here was again the Santa Cruz police not being consistent in enforcing their policies in this town, whereby we see musicians carte blanche playing under these locations, you know, continually, and then suddenly some rogue police officer comes by and decides he's going to issue a ticket. You know, he's going to be, he's going to enforce the law, and this is really an image problem with the Santa Cruz Police Department again. That we have some officers that are performing their duty and going after hardened criminals, and we have other officers that just find it convenient just to patsy around and make
soft criminals, softies like this guy.
Create crime, you know, to make criminals out of ordinary citizens so that they can meet their quota on writing tickets, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, did you hear any of the conversation between Officer Klein and Cosmic Chris?
No, I was actually playing my little ocarina, walking up the street, and I just felt like avoiding that whole situation.
You did observe. What did you see? How much of it did you see?
Well, I saw the officer in question. I saw him there, trying to give a verbal reprimand as well as write a ticket to these musicians. I saw a crowd of like 5 to 10 people around protesting the officer's actions. It was a very disruptive environment. And then I saw the same police officer looking at me from across the street, trying to figure out whether he could give me a ticket on a subsequent occasion 10 minutes later. And of course, I was standing in the middle of the sidewalk, so he didn't have the opportunity.
Well, perhaps he will get his heart's desire later. I know you did get a parking ticket for parking in front of the cookie company. In those good old days when they used to have a bench there and a youth scene, that has, of course, been changed.
It's been only a week ago that Officer Pollack gave me a parking ticket while I'm standing next to my car and told me, even though I was putting change in the meter, that he was, of course, going to give me a ticket anyway. That's going to probably be dismissed an administrative discharge, hopefully.
I wish you luck. I've always had difficulty with those administrative discharges, but you could get lucky. Chris, you intend to pursue this in court?
Yeah, I'm going to fight it. Everybody's invited.
Again, it's April...
April 10th.
I encourage you to plead not guilty, get a public defender, and let us know when your pretrial is. There's not much point in coming to the arraignment because it's just a not guilty plea, but it would be good to know how it develops, particularly if you want to fight it. Also interested in knowing whether you're interested in joining a buskers union, a union of musicians, artists, and so forth, to stop this kind of thing from happening in the future. It seems to be happening with greater frequency.
Possibly. I might be interested in that, for sure.
Very good. Anything else you want to add about dear Officer Klein and the state of affairs on Pacific Avenue?
Well, I The day previous to my ticket, as I said before, I was told to take my guitar out of the alcove and stand on the curb next to the street in the rain by the traffic. And I had questioned him after the fact that day, and he told me that the police felt they had lost control of Pacific Avenue and were now making a concerted effort to regain control, and that was part of what was going on, and that from that point forward, it probably wouldn't be a big problem with me playing in the alcoves or anything. Then it was the following night that his sidekick or his little underling, Klein, decided to give me the ticket.
Have you heard of any further incidents of this kind?
I know there's been some incidents. Nothing today, but every time I see Klein and his sergeant, boy, they just smile like they're getting ready to eat a big juicy steak.
See, Klein, you want to decline, so to speak.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Anything you want to add?
Just that, you know, and I think, you know, if there's any police get a chance to hear this, they ought to, be a little bit more thoughtful about, you know, what actually they're trying to achieve with their new sweep. The other thing I'd like to add is that I've noticed that they've started carrying their firearms on the mall again. And when there's nothing down here except housewives and their little baby kids, I don't think firearms are apropos on this street. We don't have that kind of crime
here. There are obviously criminal individuals like African Americans with berets on. I've seen that kind of suspicious-looking individual occasionally lingering on park benches.
Well, I'm really serious about the fact that I don't think carrying firearms on the mall is a good idea. Well, there's no need for firearms on Pacific Garden Mall.
So it was not, you mean that previously they had not carried firearms on the mall?
Well, I haven't seen it for a while, since Officer Over. So I don't know.
I've not been aware that there had been a change in policy, but that's interesting to hear. Thank you, Chris. Finally, another witness to this was your friend Dennis.
Mm-hmm. Contained in my...
We're talking to Dennis of the Potter's Hand
Church, yes.
And Dennis, you're here with your only one kind of soup today. What is this?
Well, we're all out of the two kinds.
Now, which went out first?
The vegetarian this time. Most of the time it's the meat that goes out first and the vegetarian's left, but oddly enough it was reversed this week.
So what's the secret you're cooking? Why do so many people flock to your food?
Because it's fresh. Nothing is day old. We got everything that's freshly, like if you went to the store today and bought it, and make the bread, the juice, the water, the ingredients in the soup, everything.
Well, we're here in front of the Cooper House. Don't you think it would be better if we put in a little kind of fenced-in area with little tables that only your favorite individuals could sit at? Wouldn't that be better?
Well, that'd be great if we had a little social club going, but this isn't about social club. This is about feeding and helping people who are in need.
Right. Well, you know, and have a social club up the way that's actually a fenced-in planter area where... Luckily, the young scoundrels no longer hang out. Aren't you relieved to know that has happened?
Well, I'm saddened because now when I went to find the people today to help feed them, they were scattered and gone, and I'm worried about their eating. I'm worried about their health, worried about their ability to trust, you know, in the system of a democracy. You know, that's the trouble that we have to worry about now.
Plutocracy, actually, but let's not get into it at this time. Now, what about, you've talked in the past about how you've seen people who've been sitting near the building being told by the host they can't sit there. Mm-hmm. What's happened in the last week or two? Have you noticed any positive improvements? Things gotten worse? Same?
Actually, things have gotten better. There hasn't been anybody asking to be removed. It seems that now that the corner has been, quote-unquote, the corner, yeah, has been...
you mean yuppie planter. Yuppie planter.
What has been dismissed and the UTEs have gone.
Undesirable transient elements.
Now we don't see as much of the police down here moving, so it's settled back down again.
Well, interestingly enough, Cosmic Chris, who's sampling your food, just told me that he got driven into the rain from the warehouse with his guitar, and then the next day ticketed in front of Jackson's Shoes for trespass for playing his music. So, and I also heard up at Yuppie Planter, at least 7 tickets were given at different times by individuals by their own personal accounts in the last 3 or 4 days. So apparently, they may be leaving you alone, but that's not the case everywhere on the mall.
Well, no, but what I'd like to know is if one gets a ticket, then I should all get one. Because, you know, that's just, if it's going to be, if the law is for one, it's for all. you know, and if one's going to get one, then they should. Because there's people all the time playing music on Santa Cruz Mall, and that's part of the personality down here. You know, no one else is getting tickets.
Well, they have classical music being blasted from New Leaf. We don't need those stinking musicians anymore. We got some classical music coming from the host headquarters, so I don't see...
Now we're going to be closing up soon.
Well, classical music is classical.
It's a classic.
It would be nice if we could have a little can't get no satisfaction and maybe some Led Zeppelin and stuff like that down there. It'd be fun.
Oh, or you're showing your age again there, Dennis.
Or some good gospel, to be honest with you.
Good gospel.
Good gospel would be great.
Some singing. You can bring a mic with you next time.
That would be great. And how are you doing? Were you, they took you to jail, I heard.
That was about January 30th. I was taken not to jail, but to the police station where I was cited and released and my tape recording confiscated.
And what were you cited for?
I was cited for blocking the sidewalk.
Oh.
And the table where I was blocking the sidewalk is now the site of a much larger obstruction of the sidewalk, which is a huge green fenced-in area.
So you were inside the little white tapes.
There wasn't a little white tape at that time. It was simply a... I know, it's quite a concept. It was a public area.
Uh-huh.
Can you say public area? It was amazing.
Public area. Well, that's amazing.
Public area.
So that means that we're not allowed to stand in a public area.
Well, I was actually seated at a table, and it was quite an interesting violation. The ticket has since disappeared from the computer. It has been returned to Sergeant Baker for a name problem. I'm not sure what that means. And I have a lawyer has stepped forward to volunteer to sue civilly Matisse Selman, who gave the ticket of Sushi Now, and Sergeant Baker, who handcuffed me and took me away on the ticket. Because to the naive observer, I know they must have had good reason. Certainly, they would never do that without good reason. It looked like an attack on freedom of speech, freedom of the right to petition, and freedom of assembly. But who am I to second-guess the police department?
That's right. That's right. Well, we're just here all of a sudden wondering, who are we?
I mean, after all, we do what we're told, right?
Exactly. If we want to live right, we better do what we're told. Do you remember the book 1984?
Huh? I do.
And in thinking 1984, we had to obey to be able to live properly.
Well, Big Brother was watching.
Now we're 2002, and I'm wondering, are some of the concepts involving themselves with
this? Well, you've got to keep up with the times. Let's put it that way.
Is that a camera on top of the building?
There are numerous cameras along Pacific Avenue, as you know.
Yes.
Yeah, at least three that I know of, but
well,
thank you.
Thank you.
And we're now on the air with Wiley Drake, pastor of Buena Park, California's, is it First Southern Baptist Church?
You're right on target.
Well, it's about time. You called
in. It only took you, 2 years to get that?
I probably will forget it in about 5 minutes.
Well, don't feel bad. I've been here 15 years and I forget sometimes.
Well, listen, thank you.
And I are one.
Well, there you are. You know, I'm looking at your press release here. It says, charges dropped against grandmothers, but Tweety Bird and friends are now criminals awaiting bail at the animal shelter in Orange County. And, of course, then the next one, breaking news, was that Tweety was apparently bailed out. So what's this about Tweety Bird and grandmothers? What does all this mean?
Well, the two grandmothers were charged with sleeping in their automobile move on. In other words, the policeman told them, you can't sleep here in your car, you got to move on. And so they very politely moved on. And several months later, about 3 months later, the city prosecutor, Greg Kempman Palmer, sent a prosecution letter and said, be in court because we're prosecuting you for sleeping in your car. Well, we got the media involved and got people involved and people raised a ruckus. And the mayor came back and the chief of police said, oh, we're so sorry. We didn't mean to do that. We only sent that over to send them a warning that you had been sleeping in your car. We didn't tell the prosecutor to prosecute. On the other hand, the prosecutor told my attorney, I intended to prosecute from day one. I just got the rug pulled out from under me by the upper.
The rug got pulled out because a certain Wiley Drake and a number of people from your congregation were in there doing some fancy rug pulling.
Well, we just called up and said we thought here these ladies, 59 years old, never had a parking ticket, speeding ticket, no criminal activity. All of a sudden, they wanted to be made criminals. And so anyway, we went to court on March the 4th, and indeed, the city prosecutor came in and in all of his splendor said, Your Honor, in the interest of justice, I am going to say the Buena Park City is dropping all charges.
Now, before you go on, Wiley, let me ask you this. Isn't this sort of a replay of what happened this summer with another elderly woman who you
Absolutely.
Intervened for?
Absolutely. The only other difference was is that she was on a railroad property, and even though the prosecutor knew this from day one, he didn't say anything about it. We found out about it late in life, told the judge. The judge said, that's it, we're out of here, and sent us home because the city had no jurisdiction. In this case, they did have jurisdiction. They did have a right to do it, but they did it instead of citing release. They told them to move on, and months later they prosecuted. Well, the city, mayor and the chief of police, blamed it all on an inept prosecutor who should have sent him a warning, not a prosecution. And so it was indeed dropped. Well, a few days after it was dropped, in fact, Monday of last week, these two ladies both have come down with some very serious illness, respiratory problems, and they went to the hospital. One of them was going to have to be hospitalized, and so the doctor said, in all honesty, both of you should be hospitalized because you're very ill. And the one lady said, well, we can't both go in the hospital because we don't have anywhere to take care of our pets. We have a parakeet, Tweety, and we have two Cocker Spaniels, and we have a cat named Morris, and we can't leave them, obviously, in the automobile because we love them. They're the only family we've got. And so the hospital assured them, no problem, your pets will be taken care of, and everything will be okay. So the ladies went into the hospital. The following day, I received a telephone call, and we received papers from the Orange County Animal Control Board basically saying that Tweety Bird, Morris, Rusty, and Jessica, the two dogs, one cat, and a parakeet, were being held in lieu of bail to some $400 or $500, and if they weren't bailed out immediately, $52 a day would accumulate every day that they stay there.
Now, wait a minute. Did you contact President Bush about this terrorist attack on these women's essentially loved ones?
I tried to get through, but the problem is, what I did was I said we had a parakeet flying in a no-fly zone in the E zone of Buena Park.
And the E zone, of course, is the entertainment zone where Knott's Berry Farm is.
Right, right. And so anyway, we at that point, we began to try to reason with them, and we did, and we reasoned, and all the paperwork came through. By the way, I've got four sets of paperwork. Each of these animals have their own booking number, and each of them...
Sorry.
I can't make this up. This is the truth.
Wow.
Absolute truth. Booking numbers, the whole nine yards, and a list of all the fines that would add up to some $400 or $500. And obviously, these ladies were already sick in the hospital. Now they're sick thinking they're going to have to come out of the hospital and their animals are going to be in jail, incarcerated. Late yesterday afternoon, though, before we put out this final press release, indeed, the mayor was contacted by a lot of people, and the city was contacted, and the county, et cetera, et cetera. And so the guy called me up and said, Pastor Drake, please call all these people off. We promise you there will be no charges pressed against these animals. We will move them out of their cell into a holding facility. They will be well taken care of. They will be bathed, defleed, et cetera, taken very well care of. As long as these ladies are in the hospital, their animals will be taken care of by the Orange County Humane Society.
But will there be psychological counseling for the stress caused by this the abductions?
Like I said, you couldn't make this kind of stuff up, you know. I mean, it's so hilarious. The problem is, though, because this is so ridiculous, it's sort of like you laugh at the fact that the INS sent visas 6 months after the guys blew up the towers. You laugh at that, but you really need to cry. You laugh at this thing, Tweety Bird flying in a no-fly zone. We laugh. We really ought to be crying because our government is spending time issuing visas for dead people who blew up our twin towers in the Pentagon, and yet we're fussing about whether we ought to open or close our borders, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, let me ask you this question, Wiley. First of all, I guess I got two questions, but let me ask you this first. We know that you've had some remarkable successes in defending the rights, particularly of elderly homeless people, in Buena Park, which is, I guess, a suburb of, about 100,000 people? In
about 75, yeah.
75, so it's a little bit bigger than Santa Cruz, which is 55,000.
Right.
But how many homeless people that you know of generally do keep pets, and how many people live in their vehicles? I mean, give us some idea of the stats that you know of, and I know it's real hard to give an answer on that. And also, how many cases do you think there are of people who face harassment under the sleeping bans in Buena Park who don't have access to your facilities? I mean, have you ever done any research on that, seen how many cases are going through the courts?
Well, I don't have a lot of research, but I would say we know for a fact that there's about 25 or 30 homeless people in Buena Park that have some serious alcohol and drug problems that are sleeping down under the freeway and underpasses. And of course, because we are a church and because we make sure that if they're going to stay with us, they have to stay clean and sober. We give second and third chances sometimes, but by and large, we insist that they stay clean and sober from drugs and alcohol. And so once they get burned a time or two or three or four, then they don't ever come back to us. So they go and camp out along the railroad tracks under the freeways. They can't get into any programs because there's none available really to them. And so we know that there's probably 25 or 30 that sort of go through the swinging door to the courts. They sleep under the freeway till it gets cold, and then eventually they get busted and they go in and spend a few weeks in jail.
Well, you know, that's not many people for a town of that size. I mean, I would think, you know, usually you're talking about a homeless population of 1 to even 3% of the population, and I would think more like hundreds. Here in Santa Cruz, we've got 1,000 to 2,000 people.
In all honesty, though, because most of the people that are homeless in Buena Park come to us, and we either let them stay with us temporarily, and by temporarily, I mean anywhere from days to months, but then we also, many of them do not have to go back to the streets because we get them into other more rigid programs even than what we have for drug abuse, alcohol abuse, those kinds of things. And so we have a pretty good success ratio. We have about an 80% success rate with our people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get them off the street. They don't go back to the street. So if they don't go back to the street, they don't get harassed, except periodically if they happen to fall asleep in their car on the street.
Well, how are the rents doing in Buena Park? I mean, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of hype about how all these homeless people are homeless because they have drug and alcohol, mental health, developmental problems, what you will. But in fact, there's also the school of thought, and I'm of that school, that says that people are homeless because they are without housing. The rents are high, they don't have jobs.
Literatures tell me that the average rent in Buena Park is about $1,300 a month. That's average.
Mm-hmm.